All right, we'll say good morning. Beautiful daf ahead of us today. So today's daf. Today's daf is Kufmem Gimel 143. We are picking up on 142B Kufmem Beis Amud Beis, and we're picking up with Abaye Manach. It is seven lines up from the bottom. So we thank our sponsors, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Av, Avram and Shane D. Kelman, for dedicating all the Shiurim and Drashos this month, with the hope and prayer that this Tisha B'Av will be a Yom Tiv filled with joy in our eternal Beis HaMikdash. We thank our week of learning sponsors, Dr. and Mrs. Gavant, in honor of Dr. Gavant's reaching an age halfway between Zikna, seniority, and Seva, a ripe old age. Mazel tov to Dr. Givant and Meir Ve'esim Shanim Tovos. We thank our week of learning sponsors, Yaakov and Monica Luxembourg, in the merit of a complete and enduring refuah. For Aiden Shalom Ben Alta Breina, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah. So these chola will have a refuah together with Kol Chole Yisrael. The neshamas will have an aliyah, and the families in nechama. And Abosi, with that, let us begin. So we have some really incredible gemaras today. So remember, we left off in the sugya about obviously mukta. Still a lot of mukta. Mukta is going to be with us, has been with us, and Amir Hashem will continue to be with us. So Abosi, but specifically focusing on the discussion regarding if you have an item that is mukta, do you have the ability somehow to carry it if you go ahead and you place on it a non-mukta item? That's the fundamental shala we were dealing with. So we saw the paradigmatic case of that is, let's say, the corpse. Right? That's the paradigmatic case where you have a mace, you want to be able to move the mace, so there's this special dispensation to go ahead and put on the mace a kikar or a tinok, a baby, a loaf of bread, and then enables you to move the mace. The shaila, of course, that began coming up was, does this dispensation apply to other things? Or can you use this tinok kikar idea for other things? So that was a discussion in yesterday's Gemara. That's what we left off with. We left off with the same thing Ravashi said. Ravashi said that the truth is the dispensation or the license for kikar and tinok was really only something Chazal stated by a mace, Alts kavarabrius, right? Out of dignity to the dead. But in general, Chazal did not want you implying that strategy to move other things. So the Gemara says as follows, Abaye monoch kafa akipi. So Abaye used to place a spoon on sheaves in order to go ahead and carry them. Now, under general circumstances, a sheave of wheat is mukta. Right, it really serves no purpose. He can't do anything with it on Shabbos. He can't grind it. He can't bake it. He can't do anything. So lemais against generally mukta. What Abaye would do is he would put a spoon on top of the sheaves. The spoon is not mukta, and he would carry the sheaves because of the spoon. Rava manach sakina abaryona umetalkla. Rava would put a knife on top of a piece of raw dove's meat in order to go ahead and carry it. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Kama charifa shmeisa sadadardiki." Oh, how sharp these young Talmidei Chachamim are. Now, I'll say, it was really a little bit of a shtach. Rav Yosef was saying is, they think they're so sharp, right? These young Talmidei Chachamim, they think they're so smart. Emer dam rabbanim b'shocheach, l'chat chila mi'amar. See, Rav was saying, at most, even if you hold that there is this ability to go ahead and place a non-mukta item on top of a mukta item so as to facilitate the movement of the non-mukta item, of the mukta item, that's only if the mukta item was forgotten in a place where it's not normally found. But when you have items that are in their normal place, putting a non-mukta item on a mukta item does not allow for movement of the mukta item. So what Tavuzi was saying is like this, the piece of meat, the pashtos, was left where it's supposed to be left. The sheaves were left where they were supposed to be left. So it's very nice that Abaye and Rava think that they could put a non-mukta item on these items and move them, but that's not the case. To which the Gemara says, to which Abaye responds, Amar Abaye, well, you're wrong, I'll tell you why. Ilav dadim chashavana, where not that I'm a very important person, kafa akifi lamali, ha-chazu lemizgala. I wouldn't even have to go ahead and put the spoon on top of sheaves, because sheaves wouldn't be mukta. Why aren't they mukta? Because they could go ahead and be used to sit on. Or I'm supposed to say, you could fashion for yourself a nice comfortable seat out of sheaves of wheat. So Abaye says, if I wasn't Adam Chashon, I'm saying that's not a Gaivadic statement. What Abaye was just saying was, for someone like me, a Talmud Chacham, it's not fitting to fashion for myself a seat out of sheaves of wheat. But lemaisa, if I wasn't adam chashuv, people arrange for themselves a pile of wheat to sit on all the time. If that's the case, then in fact, it's not really even muktza. So therefore, I don't really even need to put the spoon on top of it in order to move it. I just did that as an extra layer. Amar Rava, ilav the adam chashuv anal sakina abayon alamli. So similarly, Rava says, were it not the fact that I'm a chashuv person, I wouldn't even need to place a knife on top of the dove's meat in order to eat it. After all, hachazi li lo'umtza, because I could always go ahead and just chew on the piece of meat raw. So Rav says, it happens to be, I don't eat it like that because it's not befitting a Talmud Chacham, but lamaisa, you could chew on raw meat. People did. People could chew on raw meat. Therefore, it's not really even muktza. To which the Gemara says, time with the chazi lo'umtza. Now, the reason the raw meat can be moved is why? Because it's fit for human consumption. Technically speaking, you could eat your dove's meat tartar, right? You could go ahead and eat it raw if you'd like to. Halo chazi lo umsalo. But you see very clearly that if the meat was not edible raw, then halo chalamaisi, you could not move it. Is that to say la memra? The rabbi krabihu, the sri lech, we'll say. So again, remember, the most yisodistic machlokes in Hilchos Mukta is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. And remember again, the way we've seen that many, many times. So if you remember again, the way the Gemara phrases that machlokis is Rabbi Yehuda isle mukta, Rabbi Shimon lesle mukta, which literally means Rabbi Yehuda holds of mukta, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the mukta. We spoke about this many times. That statement could be, that phraseology is a bit misleading. Everyone holds a mukta, right? You can't not hold a mukta. It's a halacha, right? So the idea is, the shaila is the application of mukta. So whereas Rabbi Yehuda has a very, what we call, narrow application of mukta. Or I should say, actually, broad application of mukta. That's the better way to say it. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that in general, mukta is a very broad category versus Rabbi Shimon holds it's a very narrow category. So watch this. So Rava just said that the reason I could go ahead and carry raw dove's meat on Shabbos, even without going ahead and putting something, a knife on top of it, is why? Because really it's fit for consumption. Which you see from here, but were the meat not fit for consumption, then halacha lemaisa, you would not be permitted to go ahead and move it. Which sounds like Rava holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, who has a broader application of mukta. To which the Gemara says, is that true? V'ha'omer Rava, l'shamei, Rava said to his attendant, tavi li bar avza, v'shadi me'eya l'shunra. Make for me a duck. This is on Yom Tiv. Make for me a duck on Yom Tiv, and throw the intestines to the cats. Now look at Rashi. That's Rashi and the daf. V'shadi me'eya l'shunra. Alma metaltal lehu mishum shunra. So we'll say, what do you see from here? So Rava was telling his attendant that you could carry the intestines in order to feed it for the cat. Now this is very interesting. Va'af agav da'id na lo chazi la'adam, de'lav orach ara le'michla b'yom tov, umi umi asma la'adam ha'vekhaim. Rabbi, say, here's the problem. Before Yom Tov, that duck was fit for human consumption, not for cat consumption. Yet now, halacha l'maisa, therefore again, the entire duck should be set aside for human consumption. Now Rav is saying, give the intestines to the cat. So what's going on over here? Top of Kuf Mem Gimel, Hasam, Kevan de Nisrach, Daite Ilu Yeme Esmol. See, Rabbi said, the idea is intestines, once you shech the duck, the intestines don't last. So because they don't last, the person has in mind that if indeed he's going to shech the duck, he already has in mind from Erev Shabbos that he is going to feed the intestines ultimately to the cat. Hachanami Mistabra, the Rav Rabbi Yehuda Sfirli. And I will say again, another proof that Rava holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, who has a broader application of Mukta, the Darish Rava, Isha Loti Kanis Labesa Eitzim Lito Mehen Ud. So this is a very interesting case. A woman should not go into, and this is Lav Dafka gender specific, they're just giving the halacha, but a woman should not go into the Besa Eitzim. Besa Eitzim means the wood storehouse, place where you store wood, Lito Mehen Ud, in order to go ahead and take a poker, right? To take a piece of what to use as a poker. Why not? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ud, distam itzim lahasakar nitnu velo letiltul kli. Because I will say the assumption is most pieces of wood in a wood storehouse are really set aside for burning, and not for being used as a utensil. Therefore, halacha l'maisa, she can't decide to go ahead and she can't decide to go in to the Beis Ha'itzim to go ahead and take a piece of wood and use it as a poker. Similarly, if you have a poker that broke, it is asr lahasiko biyamtiv. You cannot use it as firewood on yamtiv. Why? Because it was on yamtiv. Interestingly enough, you could fuel a fire with whole utensils. With whole utensils. In other words, if a utensil is set aside for your use. So if you want to use the utensil as a utensil, you want to use it for fuel as a fire, that's your business. What can't you use? Shivrei kelim. You can't go and use broken utensils. Why can't you use broken utensils? Rashi says, Shenishbaru hayom dahaviluhu nolad. Because you're supposed to say, if a utensil broke today and now became shards and only usable as fuel for a fire, that's nolad. Something new has been created, and therefore it is mukta. So we'll say, therefore, again, Gemara says shmamina. So we'll say, all of this is just to prove to show that Rava does, in fact, hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and namely, again, has a broader application of mukta. That's the idea over here, that he holds of the concept of mukta, and therefore halacha lemaisa, as it manifests itself, lagabe yomtiv, as well as Shabbos. Beautiful. So says the Mishnah. Beishamai Omrim, we'll say, this is actually, you're going to see, this is incredibly fascinating. So Beishamai Omrim, Ma'avir me'al ha-shulchan atzamas ha-klipas. We'll see, it's an interesting shayla here. A person is having his Shabbos meal, and let's say, again, he's having meat, chicken, so there's bones left from the chicken, or he's having some nuts, and there's shells left from the nuts. I will say, so on a technical level, so bones left over from a chicken are mukta, right? Or again, assuming that mukta really refers to anything that does not really have an inherent use on Shabbos. So the bones are mukta. The shells are mukta. So the shaila, of course, becomes, well, what do you do with this stuff on your table? So watch this. So Beishamai Omrim, Ma'avir me'ala shulchan atzama seklipin. Beishamai says you could remove from your table bones and shells. Ubeisilal Omrim, Mesalek es hatavla kula, Umenara. Beis on the other hand says, no, you really shouldn't handle the bones and the shells directly. Instead, what should you do? Lift up the table in its entirety and go ahead and just shake it off. Shake it off. So we'll say, so in other words, what Beis Hillel is really saying is what? Is halacha lemaisa tiltul min atzad. Right? Don't really handle the mukta, as in this is all what we saw yesterday. Right? Don't really handle the mukta directly, but rather go ahead and just lift up the table. We'll also remember again, also, their tables were much smaller. Right? You think about these, no, really? Rabbi Beis Hillel is going to lift up my dining room table and what? Take it to the backyard and shake it out. So remember again, Bismani Gimara, they had individual tables. People dined, you had your own personal table. So it's not such a big deal to pick up the table as a whole and just go shake it out. Look here, actually, just a moment. Beis Hillel on Mesalek Es HaTavla, Sheish Toras Kli Aleha, Aval Lo Yitaltel Es HaKlipin Biyadayim Kreb Yehuda. So we'll say, so again, once again, it's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the Islay Mukta. The bones are mukta, the shells are mukta, so therefore better not to handle them directly, rather pick up the table, shake out the table. So the Gemara says, Umanara, Mesalek Es HaTavla Kula, Umanara, Ma'avirin Milifnei HaShulchan, Peirurin Pachos Mikizayis. You can remove from the table crumbs that are less than the size of a kizayis. V'seyar shel apunin. So we'll say seyar shel apunin literally are pea pods. V'seyar adashim, or the shells. Literally means the hair, but it means the shells of lentils. Mipnei shumachal behema. Because above said all of these situations, this is true, by the way, of food less than a kizayis. Or again, pea pods, or the shells of lentils, all of these items can be moved because they are fit for animal feed. Suffolk, what about a sponge? A sponge. In yeshlo beis achiza mekanchimbo. If the sponge has a handle, then you're permitted to go ahead and handle the sponge on Shabbos. Ve'im lav, but if not, in mekanchimbo. You cannot use the sponge to clean. What's the concern of Rabbi? Say, look at Rashi, in mekanchimbo, kishaochzo nischat bein etzba'osa. Because the concern of Rabbi say is if you handle a sponge, right? So if the sponge has a handle, then fine. But if the sponge doesn't have a handle, the moment you go and you handle it, what's going to happen? You're going to end up squeezing out liquid from it, which is an issue of schita, an issue of squeezing out liquid. Pretty amazing. So the Gemara says, The Chacham seemed to say that halacha lemaisa, you are permitted to take a sponge. Now Rashi says over here, kishahu nagov. This is only assuming that the sponge itself is dry. Obviously, the Chacham will not allow you to handle a wet sponge, because halacha lemaisa, that is an issue of schita. But if the sponge is dry, the Chacham say you can handle it. Ve'enu mekabel tumah. Furthermore, again, a sponge is not mekabel tumah. The Rabbah said that's not really a chiddush. Rashi points out over here, de'enu lo kli'etz, v'lo beged, v'lo sak, v'lo mateches. Because a sponge doesn't really satisfy the criteria for Kabbalah Satumah. In order to really be Makabal Tumah, you have to be a Kli, you have to be a utensil of some sort, right? But yet the sponge itself is not a wooden utensil, it's not a baget, it's not a garment, it is not a sackcloth, and it's not metal. So therefore, again, because it doesn't satisfy any criteria, therefore it's not Makabal Tumah. Good, so we'll say a lot in this Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amrav Nachman, Ein lanu ella beishamek Rabbi Yehuda ubeisilk Rabbi Shimon. So we'll say, so we only know of Beis Shammai like Rabbi Yehuda and Beis Hillel like Rabbi Shimon. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is saying over here is that the version of the Mishnah is inaccurate. And in fact, the positions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have to be reversed. Beis Hillel is the one who allows you to go ahead and clean off bones and shells directly, and Beis Shammai is the one who tells you to lift up the table in its entirety. Look at Rashi. Anu ein lanu, ein anu sumchin al mishnasenu, kimos shehi shenuya, ela muchlefes shitaso b'shem k'rabi. So we'll say, therefore again, what it's saying is like this. Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Remember again, Rabbi Yehuda holds of a broad application of muktzah. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, don't handle bones and shells directly. Rather, pick up the table, shake out the table. That is Shitas Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, allows you, halacha lemaisa, to go ahead and clear off the shells and clear off the bone. I will say, so this in general, that's how we paskin, right? You could clean off your table. You don't have to lift up the table on Shabbos to shake off bones or anything else, but you're allowed to take it off by hand. Remember, that's also part of the idea that these items are often considered to be like graf shalrei. So remember again, the great bedpan dispensation. So anything by definition that is considered to be garbage or garbage-like, even if it doesn't have an offensive odor or things like that, you're permitted to get rid of on Shabbos. Remember again, this is part of the logic. Muktzah is dirabanan. Chazal did not want to really apply the halachos of muktzah in a situation where it impinges or encroaches on your oneg Shabbos. So for example, the paradigmatic example of this is you're allowed to take out your garbage on Shabbos. Why are you allowed to take out your garbage on Shabbos? Ein muktzah gidola mizo, right? Isn't that the paradigmatic example of muktzah garbage? But yet again, that's graf shalrei. Anything that's disgusting, right? Again, so just like you're permitted to empty the bedpan, aren't the contents of the bedpan muktzah? Yes, but to leave it sitting around in Shabbos is going to encroach and impinge on the sanctity and dignity of Shabbos. You're permitted to move it out. So same idea with refuse on the table. You could get rid of it. Says the Gemara, ma'avirim lefnei ha'shulchan perurin. Similarly, again, you could remove from the table crumbs less than a kezayis. Says the Gemara, Maseilei the Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Peirurin she'in bahen kezayis asra la'abdin b'yad. Rabbi say, now interestingly enough, this lashon of ma'avirin doesn't mean to throw out per se. Ma'avirin just means to remove. So we'll say, the Mishnah is teaching us a very important halacha, which is, this like Rabbi Yochanan who says, that if you have crumbs that are less than a kezayis, you cannot go ahead and destroy them by hand. You cannot destroy them by hand. So we'll say, so this incredible yisod of Bal Tashchis, right? You know, we live, Baruch Hashem, in such a different time, in such a disposable society, with so much general surplus, many of us. And you have to be careful, the Gemara says, that, you know, things that you would disregard as unnecessary, Chazal treated with incredible importance. So even crumbs that have less than a kezayis, one should be careful not to go ahead and destroy them. Seir shalapunin, so peepods, mani Reb Shimon he the lesli muktzah. So this must reflect the view of Reb Shimon who doesn't hold the muktzah. So we'll say, the fact that you can move a peepod, what is a peepod usable for? So really nothing, in other words, not in a human way. Ultimately, so if you look at Rashi, the lesli muktzah, di Rabbi Yehuda me'esmo lav lebehema kaimis. So remember again, one of the fundamental distinctions between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is whether or not the identity of an item is locked in at the onset of Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the identity of the item is locked in at the onset of Shabbos. Therefore, we'll say, at the onset of Shabbos, what was the status of this pea pod? It was my chaladam. Right, a person was going to use it. So now that I ate the peas and I have the shell left over, so the pod left over, it's really mukta because it's no longer fit for human consumption. But yet halacha lamaisa was not designated for animal consumption on Erev Shabbos. Only Rabbi Yehuda must be, mani Rabbi Shimon he, the lesli mukta, it must be Rabbi Shimon who quote unquote doesn't hold a mukta. And I will say, like we keep saying, he holds a mukta, but lamaisa has a much looser definition. So according to Rabbi Shimon, since now the pod is fit for animal consumption, therefore you can move it on Shabbos. Even though it was not fit for animal consumption at the onset of Shabbos. Ema Seifa, yet look at the end of the Mishnah. Safog, a sponge. Im Yeshlo Beis Achiz, a Mekanchin Bo. If it has a handle, you could clean with it. Ve'im Lav, Im Mekanchin Bo. But if it doesn't have a handle, you can't clean with it. Sa'asan the Rabbi Huda. So we'll say that reflects Rabbi Huda's view. The Amar Davershin Miskavin Aser. We'll say, so remember again, why can't you use a sponge? Why can't you use a sponge without a handle? We'll say this is very halach l'maaseh. You can't use a sponge on Shabbos. Forget about hot water, cold water. You can't use a sponge on Shabbos. Why not? Because you come to squeeze out the water. So you can't do that. So we'll say, so again, what does that show you? Now remember, let's say I'm going ahead and just scrubbing down a plate. Now the truth is, my intention is not to squeeze out water. What's my intention? To remove the schmutz from the plate. See, if water comes out of the sponge, that's a davar shenu miskavin. That's an unintended consequence. Yet, it's aser. Who holds that a davar shenu miskavin is aser? That's Rabbi Huda. Oh, so now what you're telling me is the seifa at the end of the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Huda. So yeah, and now you're telling me at the beginning of the Mishnah by the sponge, right, reflects the view ultimately again of Rabbi Shimon. So which one is it? Is the sponge case reflective of Rabbi Huda or Rabbi Shimon? To which the Gemara says, no. Baha, I feel Rabbi Shimon mode. I will say, even Rabbi Shimon, who normally disagrees that a davar shenu miskavin will be mutter, will agree in this kind of case of the sponge. Why? Because this is not a davar shenu miskavin. What is this? We always come back to this distinction. A davar shenu miskavin means what? Something that may happen. Something which may happen. Versus a psik resha, which is something which will happen. So we'll say, if you have a sponge filled with water, and you end up using it, and unintentionally water comes out, so we'll say that's not a davar shenu miskavin. Why? Because if you use a sponge filled with water, what is absolutely inevitably going to occur? Water is going to come out. That's called a psik resha. So we'll say, in a psik resha, even Reb Shimon agrees that it's going to be aser. So the Gemara says, therefore, we'll say, so both Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon both agree that halacha lamaisa, you cannot use the sponge. So we'll say, the idea is the only time you can use the sponge is when the sponge has a handle and it's dry. Now, the reason you have both, why can't you just use a regular dry sponge? So in this case, Chazal would be saying, the Mishnah is saying, almost like a concern about getting confused. That if we allow you to use a dry sponge without a handle, you may come to use the wet sponge without a handle as well. Mashiach, if the handle is already a step removed and therefore be permitted, says the Gemara, Hani garin in the tamri aramaisa, sharo letal talinu, hoil v'chazin agav iman. So we'll say, so this is actually very interesting. So these pits of Aramean dates are permitted to be carried because of their mother. Now what's the pshat? Look at Rashi. Karinon, shall tzmarin behin lebehema. So we'll say, so what do you do with date pits? Generally, depending on the date, is you would give it to animals. It would be animal food. So what would happen? So these Aramean dates, Rashi says, Aramaisa, tzmarim ra'im heim, uma'achilin ha'chamarim atzman lebehema. Hilchach agav imay lebehema namikam. So it's apparently these Aramean dates were inferior dates. So what would you do with these inferior dates? In general, you would feed it to your animals. So that meaning the date itself would be given to the animals. So since the date would be given to the animals, therefore what? The pits themselves are part of animal food as well. And therefore the pits are not mukta on Shabbos because they're part of animal food. However, Udu Parsaisa, but Persian dates, Asr. Right? The pits of Persian dates will be Asr. Why, Rabbo said? Because Halacha lemaisa, those dates are consumed by people. And therefore, again, the pits themselves are not set aside for animal food. Shmuel used to carry the date pits on a piece of bread. Let's say going back to our bread, what's the right word? Not exclusion, but you know, our what is it? Blood. Bread claws, good. Our bread claws, right? That ultimately take an item that's not muktzah and go ahead and use it to transport the muktzah items. What was it? Just a chilik in the dates. So the dates which were always fed to animals, obviously their pits are not muktzah because it's animal food. But pits that are normally consumed by people, halacha lemaisa, again, those pits will be muktzah on Shabbos. We both say, remember, we do adopt the approach of Rabbi Yehuda, namely, in certain respects, namely, that the muktzah identity of an item is concretized and solidified at the onset of Shabbos. In other words, what you are at the onset of Shabbos stays with you throughout Shabbos. So, for example, so therefore, these dates, these Persian dates, which are fit for human consumption, they're consumed, but you don't give them to your animal because they're too good. Lemaisa, even once you eat those dates, those pits are not really usable for animal feed because lemaisa, they were designated for human use at the onset of Shabbos. The Gemara ends off. Shmuel tamei, Damer Shmuel, Osa Adam, Kol Tsarch, I'm sorry, Shmuel, right, Shmuel tamei, so Shmuel, right, so remember again, so now we just said Shmuel would transport the pits of the Persian dates on a piece of bread. And this goes from Shmuel tamei, Damer Shmuel, Osa Adam, Kol Tsarch, Bepas. Because Shmuel holds that a person is permitted to go ahead and use bread for all of his needs. So they will say, this is actually an incredible yisod. That there's a concept of bizayon ochlin. There's a concept of not doing degrading things with food. Not doing, have a covet ochlin, to have a certain level of respect for food, specifically for bread. Shmuel was of the opinion that you could utilize your bread for any constructive purpose, even if it's non-consumption in nature. So the idea over here is, he's using the piece of bread to transport pits, but because it's being used in a constructive fashion, that's not called bizayon ochlin. So Rava, metaltul agav likna demayo. So Rava, we'll do something very interesting. He would transport the pits in a pail of water. So what happened is when he finished the date, either he would spit the pit into a pail of water or throw the pit into a pail of water. The pail of water, of course, is not mokta, it's a pail of water. So he would transport the pits with the pail of water. Rav Hunan Rav Yeshua Avalu Kigraf Sharei. So we'll say Rav Hunan Rav Yeshua say pits is like garbage. Pits is garbage. So remember again, garbage falls into the bedpan category. And anything ultimately, again, like that has the ability to be moved. Do we go ahead and make a graf sharei lechatchila? Or do we create a situation like that intentionally? So the Gemara Rav Sheshes Zarek Luhu Belishne. So this is interesting. So we'll say we're going to talk about how different rabbanim disposed of their pit date pits. So Rav Sheshes used to spit it out. He would not handle it directly. Instead, he would eat the date. When the pit was in his mouth, he would just spit it, Rashi says, to the other side of the table. All right. So there was Rapapa, Zarkle Achari Amita. Rapapa would throw it behind his bed. So remember again, the bed really means the couch, right? They would recline when they ate. So when he finished his date, he would just spit it behind the couch. Achari Amita, Zarkle Achari Amita. Amru Alav Rabbi Zechari ben Afkalus. They said about Rabbi Zechari ben Afkalus, Shayamachs Yapanav Achari Hamita Vizarkan. Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkalus would go ahead and turn his head to the other side of the bed, and ultimately again throw it out. So we'll say so. He would turn his head and kind of just spit the date behind his. Rabbi Zechariah, I just want to point out, and this is in one of these incredible dafyomi timing gemaras. Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkalus is only mentioned one other time throughout Shas. And of course, that's in the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, right? So remember again, Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkalus, when Bar Kamsa comes along and tries to incite the Caesar to go ahead and destroy the Beis HaMikdash by telling the Caesar the Jews rebelled against you. So remember again, you know this story. And the Caesar says, no, they're not. And Zechariah ben Afkalus says, yes, they are. I'm sorry. Bar Kamsa, yes, they are. Send them a carbon. They won't offer it up. Bar Kamsa shows up in the Beis HaMikdash. He splits the lip or does something to the eye in a way that makes it a mum. So the other Rabbanim wanted to go ahead and offer up the karban. They wanted to offer it up because they knew this was going to be trouble. Zechariah ben Afkalus said, no, you can't do that because people are going to say you offer up Bal Mumin. The Rabbanim then said, fine, let's kill Bar Kamsa. He's a Moser. Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkalus says, you can't kill Bar Kamsa because people will say, Yomru kala matil Mumin bekadshim yihareg. People will think that there's a death penalty for going ahead and killing someone who makes a Mumin a carbon. So what happened? So they didn't offer up the carbon. They didn't kill Bar Kamtza. Bar Kamtza goes back to the Caesar. I will say that is the beginning of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So actually the Gemara says something dramatically, scathingly amazing. The Gemara says, And Visanuso Shazacharia ben Avkalus Hechriva es Basenu Sarfas Hechalenu Vigli Sanaladena Amim. Literally again, And Visanuso means the humility of Zacharia ben Avkalus destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal put the entire responsibility of Churban Bayis on the shoulders of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus. We don't have time. Well, if we do have time, I'll come back. There's an incredible connection between that Gemara and this Gemara. The fact that Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus is only mentioned one other time through Shas, and it happens to be over here with spitting date pits behind the couch. If we have time, we'll come back to it. Otherwise, we'll save it for a different year. Rabbi, how incredible is this? In the course of a 7.5-year cycle, that ultimately, again, Zechariah ben Avkalus on Shvuah Shechalbo of Tisha B'Av, incredibly amazing. Hadron Aloch, no tell Adam es Benosh. Gachabosai. Beautiful. Beautiful. Amabez, Kuf Mem Gimon, brand new parak. Brand new parak. Chavis Shenishpura. So we'll say if you have a barrel which broke. So we'll say this is reminiscent of the previous Mishnah that we saw, where Halach Alamai say you had a situation where something breaks, or we had it before with a fire, right? And there's like a limit as to what you're permitted to save. So similarly, you have a barrel of wine. You have a barrel of wine. So what can you do? Shematzilin heimena mazon shalosh su'udos. You could save from it enough food for three meals. I will say, now, of course, what you can do is, I mean, you could lay down under it, you know, of course, and, you know, drink as much as you can. That I saw it brought down some of the Rishonim. But here, what you're allowed to do is to go ahead and taking it back and forth. Because remember, again, we're always concerned about these situations are a number of things. Possibility of hotza'a, carrying different items, or other. So again, chavish nishbra, if you have a barrel of wine that broke, Matzilin Hemena Mazon Shalosh Sudas. So you could save three meals worth of food from that broken barrel. And what you could also do is tell your friends, listen, come and save the wine. You know, come and take wine for yourself. Obilvat Shalosh Yispog. They will say, What can't you do? Halacha L'maisa, you can't go ahead and sponge it up. They will say, that you can't do. So you can't take a sponge. Right, sponge or an absorbent cloth, and go ahead and absorb the wine like that. Because I will say, obviously, that is going to be an issue of schlita. And I will say, I want to just point out something very interesting. So this is not really with wine as much, but Lamaisa, whenever you have a liquid absorbed into some type of material, there's two issues. There's schlita. Now schlita, remember, actually, we're going to talk about schlita in this is the Mishnah that's going incredible sugya, but schlita is a told of dash, of threshing. Right, extracting one thing from another. Sometimes when squeezing out a liquid from especially like a garment, it's not schita, but rather it could be malabing. We saw this yesterday, 2 days ago, right? Laundering. So just pointing out, sometimes the same act, because sometimes it's schita, sometimes malabing, depending on what you have. So the Gemara says over here, you can't sponge up the wine. In sochtin as a person, supposed to listen to this fascinating sugya. You cannot squeeze fruit on Shabbos. Lahotse mehen mashkin. So we'll say you can't squeeze fruit on Shabbos in order to extract liquid. So you want a fresh cup of orange juice on Shabbos morning before you come to davening. So you can't go ahead and squeeze fruit on Shabbos for their juice. Vim yatzo me'atzman. So we'll say, so again, remember, because the act of squeezing fruit on Shabbos is schita. That's mamish schita. That's dosh. Mefarek, right? That's extracting the liquid from the solid. That is an iser. However, what happens if the juice is oozed out on their own? What happens in that case? Where I'm not squeezing out the juice, but the juice came out on its own. So we'll say, so what happens in that case? Rabbi Huda Omer, listen to this. So we'll say, I'm sorry. So we'll say, Tanakama holds that it doesn't make a difference whether you squeeze the juice or the juice came out on its own. It's asur. You can't drink juice that comes from a fruit, whether it oozed out or that you squeezed it out. Rabbi Huda makes an interesting distinction. Rabbi Huda Omer, Im la ochlin, if the fruits that you have are set aside for consumption, hayotze mehen mutter. So we'll say, if the fruits are set aside for consumption, then any juice that oozes out is going to be mutter. And I will say, what's the logic? If you look at Rashi says, Rabbi Huda Omer, Im la ochlin, he mechunasin osan peres hayotze mehen mutter, telo nechali b'mashe zabu, v'lekala migzer b'ashami yischot. So we'll say, Let's take a step back for just a moment. Why do the Rabbanan say that even if the juice oozes out on its own, that it's going to be usser? It's very simple, because we're concerned that what? If we allow you to drink that juice, which oozes out on its own, what's going to happen? You're going to squeeze the fruit. So Rabbi Huda says, no, it depends on the fruit. If this is a fruit that is not normally squeezed, but rather, again, this is a fruit which is normally consumed, then halach l'maisa, you could drink the juice that oozes out on its own, because we're not concerned you're going to come to squeeze it, because that's not this kind of fruit. Vim l'mashkin, but if l'maisa, and we'll say not only that, but also Rashi points out that if you have a fruit that is set aside for consumption, and the juice oozes out, that's actually, you're not happy about that, right? You don't want that, because the juice that oozes out from the fruit makes it less edible. So number one is lo nechale, I don't want it. And also I'm not going to come to squeeze it, because this is a fruit that is set aside for consumption, not for squeezing. Vim lamashkin, but ultimately if it's a fruit that's set aside for juices, then hayotze mehen aser. Then Enoch and Rabbi Huda will agree that if juice oozes out of the fruits, then ultimately again it will be aser. Chalos devash sheriskan. If you have halacha lemaisa, arose chalos devash are literally honeycombs. So if you have honeycombs that you crushed up, you would crush it in order to extract the honey. If you crushed it up on Erev Shabbos, yotze me'atzman asurin. So if you crush the honeycombs on Erev Shabbos and the honey's oozing out on Shabbos, it's going to be aser. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, if you crush that in Erev Shabbos, ultimately, again, it is going to be mutter. So we'll say, so again, we'll see the Chacham are concerned that if we allow you to use crushed honeycombs, you may come to crush actual honeycombs on Shabbos, whereas Rabbi Eliezer is not concerned. We'll see that in the Gemara. But we'll say, what I want you to focus on now is the incredible machlokas we have by Schitas Peros, right? So everyone agrees that you cannot squeeze juice out of a fruit on Shabbos. The shaila, of course, becomes, what happens if the juice oozes out on its own? Chachamim Tanakama Aser. Aser. It's just Aser. It doesn't make a difference, right? You can't drink any juice that comes from a fruit. It doesn't matter. Rabbi Huda says it depends on the fruit. If it's a fruit that's set aside for consumption, for eating, then you don't really want the juices. In other words, you didn't have a kavana for the juices. You certainly didn't squeeze the juices. So halacha l'maaseh, you could drink the juice. We're not considering going to come to squeeze the fruit because this fruit is set aside for consumption. But if it's a fruit that's set aside for juicing and the juice comes out on its own, in a chinami, the juice will be aser. Alts the concern that you may come to actually juice the fruits. It says the Gemara Tana, lo yisbog b'yayin, v'lo yitbach b'shemen, shal yasek edek shu osa b'cha. Well, this is very interesting. So if you have a barrel of wine that breaks on Shabbos, like we saw before, you cannot sponge up the wine, obviously. And I will say, v'lo yitbach, this is fascinating. Yitbach means, I will say, if you have a barrel, this is actually, you wouldn't think about this, if you have a barrel of oil, and you want to gather up the oil, I will say, what can you do? This is incredible. You could put your hand in the oil, right? Because the thickness of the oil will adhere to the hand. So what can you do? Mamish, put your hand in oil, bring your hand to the corner of the utensil, and scrape your hand back into the utensil. That's an incredible way to go ahead and collect. That's so fascinating. Collect oil. So you can't do that. You can't do that on Shabbos. Shalom yaseh kederach shu osu b'chol. Because they will say you can't go ahead and collect the wine and collect the oil like you would do during the week. Ten rabbanon. If again you had fruit that got scattered in the chutzner, so we'll say, let's say again in this situation you had a basket of fruit, and let's say again it got scattered all over the chutzner. So what's the halacha? Melakit al yad va'ochel. You could pick it one at a time to eat it. In other words, you could regather the produce one at a time to eat it. Avalo l'socha sabra. So you cannot regather all of the produce back into the basket. So this is really quite fascinating. So you have a basket of fruit. Now again, remember, the basket of fruit was already collected before Shabbos. What happened? The basket tipped over. The fruit went everywhere. So you're saying, what can't you do? You can't just go back and regather all of the fruit from the chatzer, because we'll say, what does that look like? It looks like harvesting. It's not really harvesting, but it's like an uvda dechol. It has the appearance of a weekday-like activity, and therefore you cannot do that on Shabbos. What can you do? You could go out and collect the fruit one by one as you need it for consumption. Incredible. In Sochna Saper, so we'll say, now here we go. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Moda hay Rabbi Huda Chachamim bezeisim va'anavim. Rabbi Huda agrees to Chachamim. So what's the memory again? Rabbi Huda normally says, let's go with everybody agrees. Everybody agrees you can't squeeze fruit. Right? People say, and that's true. It doesn't matter the fruit, right? Made for consumption, for drinking. You can't squeeze fruit for its liquid on Shabbos. That's total agreement. The machlokus is, what happens when juice oozes out of the fruit on its own? So remember again, the Chachamim say, Aser, everything's Aser. Rabbi Yehuda, it depends. If the fruit's for achila, the juices are okay, permitted. If the fruit is for juices, then the juices are Aser. Says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Meshmua Modu Hayi Rabbi Yehuda Chacham Bezeisim Va'anovim. Rabbi Yehuda gives it to Chachamim when it comes to olives and grapes. Olives and grapes. I will say, what, my time, or I will say, namely what? Whether the olives and grapes are set aside for consumption or for juice, either way, juices that ooze out of olives and grapes are going to be asr on Shabbos. My time, kevan de l'schita ninhu yohev daiti. So this is very interesting. Because olives and grapes are the type of items that, even if your intention is to eat it and not to use it for the juices, juice that comes from grapes, you know, wine, olive oil, are the most common use of these items. So even if your particular intention was different, Rabbi Huda would agree that any juices that ooze out of olives and ooze out of oils will be asr on Shabbos. V'ula Amar, Ula says, Rav, V'ula Amar Rav, Chaluk Hayi Rabbi Huda, Af Bezeisim Anav. Ula says the name of Rav, that no, Rabbi Huda argued even by Zeisim Anav. So we'll say, so now, we have a further machlokes. Did Rabbi Huda agree to Chacham when it comes to Zeisim Va'anavim? Because Zeisim Va'anavim, olives and grapes, we'll say, are by definition items that are only to be squeezed for their juices. Or did he disagree in that case as well and hold no? Even Zeisim Va'anavim is only Aser if your Kavana is for the juices. But if your Kavana is for Achila, it's okay. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Halacha K'Rabbi Huda B'Shaperis, Vein Halacha K'Rabbi Huda B'Zeisim Va'anavim. Rabbi Yochanan says, the Halacha follows Rabbi Huda by other fruit. Namely, Rabbi Yosef will make that juice food distinction, but not by zeisim va'anavim. Amar Rabbi, Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Shmuel, Moda Haya Rabbi Huda, Chacham bezeisim va'anavim. So Rabbi says, "Name Rabbi Huda says, Name Shmuel." That Rabbi Huda agreed that Chacham bezeisim va'anavim. So Rabbi Yosef, when it comes to olives and grapes, halacha lemaisa, anything that oozes out of it is going to be aser. Umodim Chacham Rabbi Huda b'shar peiros. That Rabbi Yosef, in this version of Shmuel, the Chachamim agreed with Rabbi Huda by all other fruit. Namely, that again, by all other fruit, we'll look, did you set it aside for consumption or for liquid? So if that's the case, I don't understand. So if that's the case, that Rabbi Huda agrees with the Chachamim by Zeisim Va'anavim, and the Chachamim agreed with Rabbi Huda by Shar Peiros, then what? What's the Machlokes? Then what do they argue about? So Amar Lei, L'chi Sishkach. So he said to him, right, so Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Abba, right, or I should say Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Yirmiyah, go out and figure it out. The chisishkach, I'm not going to spoon feed you the answer. Go and figure it out. Ara nachar mayitzchak mistabra v'tusim v'rimonim pligi. I will say, what was the machlokes? The machlokes was by strawberries and pomegranates. I will say, what's unique about tusim v'anavim? What's unique about, right, the sangi? Here we go. Zesim. Shemashach mehen shemen. So if you have olives, that oil flowed out of them. Shemashach mehen. Rashi says zav me'elehen. So if you have olives, that oil flowed out of them, or anovim shemashach mehen yain, or grapes, that wine flowed out of them. So we'll say, remember again, in these cases, you're not actively extracting anything. Remember, what's happening over here is these juices are flowing out on their own. Vechnisan, and you save the liquid. Bein laochel bein lamashkin. I'm sorry, let's go back for a second. So Zeisim Shemashach Men Shemen, V'anam Shemashach Men Yayin, V'chnisan Bein La'ochel, Bein La'mashkin, and you had gathered up these items, right? Whether you were storing these grapes and olives, ultimately again for consumption or for juice purposes, Hayotze Mehen Aser. Anything that oozes out of olives and grapes, those mashkin are going to be Aser. Tusim, strawberries, Shemashach Men Yayin, the juice came out. V'rimonim, Shemashach me'en yayin, or pomegranates from which wine came out, v'chnisan la'ochlin, if you had set aside the tusim v'rimonim for consumption, hayotze mehen mutter, the juice that comes out of it is mutter, l'mashkin u'listam, But if you went ahead and you set them aside for juice or just stam, or you didn't designate it for any particular purpose, hayotze mehen aser div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda will say that ultimately that which comes out of them is going to be aser. Vechachamim omrim bein laochlin bein lamashkin hayotze mehen aser. So ultimately, again, so the Chachamim will say whether you set them aside for Ochlin or for Mashkin, what comes out of them ultimately, again, will be Asa. So we'll say, it turns out that according to this version so far, everyone will agree that by Zaysim Va'anavim, whatever oozes out of Zaysim Va'anavim is going to be Asa. Whether you set aside the Zaysim Va'anavim ultimately, again, for Mashkin, for Achila or for Mashkin, so whether you set aside for consumption or for the juices, it is going to be Asa. The Machlokes case... The Machlokes case is going to be in the Tusim Verimonim, right? What happens ultimately, again, with the juices that come out? So do we make a distinction between when they're set aside for their juices versus when they're set aside for consumption? And also, we'll say now there's a third category being introduced, which is Stam. Stam means if you put them away for no intention. So Rabbi Yehuda holds one way, the Chacham hold a different. The Chacham will always hold that everything, that any juice that comes out of a pri will always be Aser. Rabbi Huda is the one who has the distinctions between items set aside for consumption, items set aside for juicing, and also stam, non-designated fruits. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with this machlokas. So we'll say this, you know, has major ramifications for Hilchos Shabbos. We'll see the continuation of the machlokas, really the fleshing out of the machlokas, and halacha l'maaseh mirtzah Hashem tomorrow. Shkach, we'll say. Yeah.